Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
A legendary outdoor store in Cleveland, Mississippi is selling everything in a five-day online-only auction. Vintage fishing and hunting gear, archery, muzzleloaders, jewelry, toys, signs, and more. Bidding starts Friday, July 24th at 9 a.m. Shop now at YNLauction.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the road, and once again, we're at Montgomery, Alabama at the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament, and I want to thank very much all of our sponsors for making the trip here possible. Special thanks to our good buddies at Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Parrish Tractor Company, and Century First Federal Credit Union. We really appreciate them making it possible for us to be here. All right, so here's where we are. We're three games down. Louisiana defeats Marshall yesterday 11-1. Georgia State defeats Old Dominion, kind of surprising, Dima, 17-1. And Texas State has just defeated Appalachian State 6-5. We're waiting now for the game between Louisiana and Coastal, which may be the most attractive game of the day, really.
Oh, no doubt about it, especially with the series that they played in Lafayette last weekend. It honestly reminds me last season when Troy played Southern Miss in that Saturday game. They had just played in a series before then. But, I think to me, out of all those results, to me, that the result that means the most, at least right now, is Texas State beating App State. Texas State's one of those bubble teams. There's several bubble teams here in the tournament, probably the most that I can remember at a Sun Belt tournament, that need to win here a few games to get position their RPI better. And Texas State with a huge win there and have a chance. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming they want Coastal to win this game so they have a chance for another RPI booster tomorrow afternoon. Right.
Jack Duggan joins us to kick off our coverage of the Sun Belt Tournament. Who better than the old left-hander? How are you, Jack?
Good, Bob. How are you? Good to see you guys here in lovely Montgomery.
Yes.
Downtown Montgomery.
Yep. Beautiful. I'm a little surprised at the lack of train traffic.
Well, we just had one go through about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It always makes me think of Boxcar Willie, the great singer.
You know who he's talking about.
I do not know who that is.
They used to advertise him when I was a kid on TV.
I was thinking of the Boxcar Children, the books. Yeah.
Dave is very excited about the possibility Friday of visiting the Hank Williams.
Yes.
Because, as you know, he's a big fan.
Yeah, well, we've talked about on several occasions.
Yeah.
When I've come onto the program.
All right, Jack Duggan, tell me, and I want to ask both of you guys this question. What was the turning point of the season? When did things turn positive that put the Golden Eagles in this great position they're in today, Jack? And what was it?
I don't know if there's a defining moment. I think one thing that Coach Ostrander did was when he moved Camden Clark from the bullpen to the rotation. I think that helped solidify things for us on the weekend, and I certainly thought that we got better down the stretch. I mean, it's obvious if you look at our results, especially in the month of May, where we've gone 9-0. We've won our last 20 regular season games in the month of May. So, I think that's probably, to me, that's the one thing that sticks out.
Dama?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying Camden Clark, and that would be my answer as well. But I'm going to throw another one out there that people aren't talking about a lot. And it's something that doesn't seem like necessarily a coaching change. It was when Dre Barrett kind of injured his hamstring, and you moved Ty Long to third base, right? It solved your DH role because now Dre Barrett plays DH, and Ty Long's been giving them exceptional play over there at third base, and it's really lengthened what Seth has been able to do at shortstop as well. And look at what Dre Barrett's done since he's moved to the DH role. He's batting like .450 over the last two or 3 weeks. And that's a huge part in the bottom of the lineup, where during that lull, the bottom of the lineup, 6, 7, 8, 9, I mean, Oz said it on our show, like, we need to find answers down there. And they found them between Dre Barrett, what he's doing, Ben Higdon's coming along, Tucker Stockman's, you know, batting much better than he did earlier in the season. And then I think Ty Long's giving you solid at-bats in the nine hole. That's a very big key to extending the lineup and getting your power guys in your first four of the lineup more fastballs to see.
And if I could add to that, you know, you look at the statistics now, Bob. I think we have six or maybe seven guys that are hitting, you know, at or over 300. And you look at the guys that have come on as of late, you know, and Dima mentioned them. You know, Higdon has been really good over the last 10 ball games. Russo has been fantastic. You talked about Barrett, who's been really good. I'm trying to think of other guys in the lineup.
Gillespie, Seth Smith.
Gillespie's been solid. Seth Smith's been solid. But there's about four or five guys in the lineup that have seen their batting average and their analytical stuff jump. You know, the ones that matter, like RBIs, have jumped. You know, you look at Higdon. I think Higdon's driven in 17 runs over, like, his last 10 games. So that's what you need. I mean, you need, you know, you got to be able to touch home plate in this game, and you got to do it a lot. And if you do that a lot, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And we've done that as of late. I think we've scored double digit runs in the last five or six ball games in a row. Yeah. So you know, if we keep doing that and keep swinging the bat, you know, the pitching's going to be there. Pitching is like, ERA is like sixth in the country heading into the tournament. They get 3.55, which is just phenomenal.
It's crazy.
But, you know, I think hitting has come on, and you'll notice that, you know, those numbers have improved, and hopefully they'll continue to improve.
Yeah. This next game, guys, is kind of a tale of two cities in a way. Louisiana, a lot like Southern Miss, they're playing really well right now. They're about to play Coastal, who suddenly has hit a wall. The wall that we hit in the middle of the year, Coastal seems to have hit now, Jack.
Well, you want to play your best baseball at this time of year, and I think Golden Eagles are. And, you know, unfortunately for Coastal Carolina, they've struggled, and I don't know how to pinpoint that. I follow their scores, but I don't follow them, you know, their day-to-day stuff. So, you don't know what's going on with them, and you never know. New week, new city. You know, new opportunities. You know, they can turn it around here today against Louisiana. You know, they are the number two seed, and
they're dangerous.
Yeah, they are. And but you know, so are the Cajuns. The Cajuns have played really well over the last month, and this next game, I tell you what, should be really fun to watch.
Yeah, this is the marquee game of the day, dude.
I think so. I mean, you know, you got like I mentioned earlier, like this is a series that we just saw. So Coastal lost that series and in turn lost the regular season title with it. Right. So, you know, they want to have something to say about that and, you know, kind of right the ship there. And Coastal, like you said, they've struggled over the last few weeks, but they still have a lot to play for. I mean, if they were go out and win this thing, you know, maybe they could put themselves back in the position to be discussed as a hosting position. I don't know if they'd get it, but they'd at least be discussed, you know. But they still have a lot to play for. Louisiana, of course, this is a huge game for Louisiana. If they were to win this game, another RPI boost. I think they've already solidified their way in a tournament with those series wins over Southern Miss and Coastal. But a win today and getting another win over Coastal would be huge for them.
Jay Walker told me this morning he believes this would put them in the NCAAs if they win this game here.
I think they're already in, but, yeah, I mean, this would obviously be a nice feather in the cap.
Yeah. Jack, it seems like Oz knows all the right buttons to push at the right time, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, he's been successful everywhere he's been, whether it was Biloxi High School, whether it was, you know, at Jones College, whether it's an assistant at Arkansas State or Louisiana Tech, and certainly in his tenure at Southern Miss, he's been phenomenal. And great guy to work with, and, you know, just – you know, I'm fortunate. I probably said this before on the air, but, you know, I'm fortunate. I get to be in his office, and I hear them talk baseball, and it's just such an education when you go in there and you listen to the way that they talk about, you know, how they're going to approach a certain hitter or how they're going to approach a certain game or how this pitcher's doing or how that pitcher's doing. And, you know, they spend a lot of time looking at video and doing scouting reports, and you know, they don't just line up and play. No. I mean, they do a lot of preparation for each and every game, and you know, not only Oz, but, you know, Travis Creel, Ladd Rhodes, you know, Ben Brewer, Gunnar Leger, man, their baseball IQs are through the roof. And, man, they're just a great staff. And, yeah. and we're fortunate to have them all.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's a fun group to be around as well.
Are you going to believe me if I tell you we prepare like that for every Eagle Hour?
Well, I wouldn't doubt you two guys would. I'm sure there's a certain other member of your crew that probably does not. I won't mention any names.
Not though. To mention that he's never here either. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I was surprised he wasn't here, and then I thought, well, maybe he's not allowed to leave the state.
Well, yeah, there's
his ankle monitor starts vibing.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. We have to kind of be careful taking him out of public too much.
I understand.
Hey, real quick before we hit the break, you're going to be busy again next week.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly trending that way, and we look forward to the possibility of having another regional at Pete Taylor Park. And, dude, it's the best time of year. You can't ask for anything better this time of year, and we certainly are. If that is indeed the case, we certainly are looking forward to it.
First time ever back-to-back seasons?
Yeah, I would say that would be true. Now, we've hosted Supers back-to-back in 22 and 23, but, yeah, it would be the first time. And what, it would be the, what, fifth time we posted?
Yeah.
Fourth
in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, guys. Hey, y'all enjoy your stay in Montgomery. Right.
Jack Duggan, everybody. We're talking to Jason Baker next. Live coverage of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament on Super Talk Mississippi continues.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. We're live in Montgomery, Alabama, 2026 Sun Belt Baseball Tournament special 3-day coverage, sponsored by our wonderful friends at Century First Federal Credit Union, Parrish Tractor Company, Quarter Market Food Stores, and Genesis of Hattiesburg, and of course, all of our other great, great Eagle Hour sponsors. Jason Baker joins us now as the game's underway, and guys, the Coastal and Louisiana.
Coastal's pitcher just hit three straight Louisiana batters to load the bases.
So the bases are loaded.
Yes,
right. Okay. Jason, of course, does the ESPN Plus broadcasting of Southern Miss baseball, a lot of other things, but we're here to talk about baseball.
That's right.
And some also now involved in the radio broadcast. I want to go to the ESPN thing plus.
Okay.
We were talking off air, Jason. That has changed the face of college athletics, because now no one ever misses a single pitch.
Well, I think it's changed this sport more than any.
Yeah. Right.
I think, number one, there was an audience that wanted to see more college baseball out there, and obviously linear TV has chosen different routes. They'll put on bowling before they'll put on college baseball. So what did ESPN Plus do? It put it out there for people to consume it. And you're right. One of my closest Golden Eagle fans, friends, lives in Washington, D.C. He doesn't miss a pitch, Bob. And, I mean, it's a benefit to him because he can feel like he knows the team versus where he only is coming to Pete Taylor Park maybe one or two times a season, right? But yet he has this interconnection to the team because you're watching them on TV every single night, just like a closed circuit Major League Baseball broadcast, right, where you're following your team every single night.
I mean, like 10 years ago, I mean, even like 5-10 years ago, I mean, you were just happy if Southern Miss got on TV, you know, once or twice during the postseason.
100%.
And now it's every single game.
And keep in mind, some credit needs to be given to our administration.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to put baseball on ESPN Plus. It was not contractual, I don't believe, in the early portions of the ESPN Plus contract. But Jeremy and Lee Field and other admins felt like it was important. Our product was good enough. in Lee Field and company put fiber down. They tunneled it from Reed Green across 4th Street over to Pete Taylor Park, and that was a major investment that this school made. And so, yeah, I was chomping at the bit to get the opportunity because I had called baseball previously alongside of John before Jack, and so I was looking for an opportunity to get back involved heavily on a day-to-day basis, and ESPN Plus has been that avenue, and people are loving it, man. They consume it. It's crazy. It's crazy how many people come to the games, watch the game, and then go home and watch the game again, like on ESPN Plus.
Yeah. And we had to go watch the Russo home run again.
That's right.
I'm gonna say this too. Now I'm at all the home games, obviously, but I never miss a road game.
Yeah.
On ESPN Plus. Our technical people at Southern Miss do as good a job as ESPN would do. They are remarkable.
They are. It's a talented team. I mean, and it starts from Lee Field, the camera people that he's hired, the audio tech guys. I mean, the audio tech guy, Scott Cross, I mean, his day-to-day job is running WLOX. I mean, literally, he is the technical coordinator. He is responsible. If that station's down, it's on Scott. If that station's up and working right, it's on Scott. So he's working the same games, you know, for us that he's doing for his day job. And that is fully on the school. I mean, that was the investment, if you will, into that. Jeremy had a foresight to say this is going to be important, because you've seen it with other schools, right? They're crossing over. They're utilizing radio broadcasts when they shouldn't be. They're not investing. It's one camera angle or maybe two. And, I mean, I think Saturday for the regular season finale, I think we had one, two above home in the each dugout, center field, behind home. So we had six cameras, I think, at Pete Taylor Park, and that's pretty much the average, and it's incredible. I think it shows. It shows that it cares and it matters to us.
I mean, I think it matters, too, of when Southern Miss is on these lines of regional hosting and not to. Does that give them almost another boost that they have all this equipment but also the love around the product?
I guess. Now, keep in mind, we kind of all get bumped out. I don't know if you paid attention leaving Saturday, but the booth was completely deconstructed by the time you left the press box Saturday. I'm talking about all monitors, all logos, everything. Our booth was – matter of fact, by the time I made it up from post-game radio, the only thing left in that booth – was my stuff. They had completely deconstructed it in the entirety of the radio post-game show because, assuming we'll get a host at Pete Taylor Park, the linear team, even if it's on ESPN Plus, there'll be a truck and a team that comes in, and they're going to want their own stuff in there. So, but to your point, I do think it's mattered in terms of hosting because national people are paying attention to us. I hear from Kendall Rogers from time to time. Mark Etheridge, obviously, has been on the broadcast. He's been at the Pete. He tells me how much he watches our broadcast. So I think from a national perspective, the people that matter, the people that are talking about college baseball are paying attention to us.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think you're right.
Yeah, it does.
I agree. The exposure, you couldn't pay for the exposure.
No, not at all. I mean, Pitching Ninja has used our stuff when Jackson Flora came in this opening weekend of this season. So, I mean, there's people that are paying attention that know Southern Miss Baseball as a brand, and I think a lot of it's got to be to the shoulders of ESPN Plus.
You've been around a long time, like me, and I sometimes have to pinch myself a little bit when I see the national level of respect the program has now achieved. You feel the same way?
100%, but I think this program's earned it.
No,
you know,
completely.
They have chiseled away at any kind of hold back that people would want to put this program down and say we're not quite good enough. Well, you know what? Like, we were just talking with someone before this show got on the air, and guy was telling me, like, that resume's top seven. Now, whether you're the seventh seed or not, I don't know, but the resume's top seven. And I would agree. You know, I've been a big, let's let this whole thing play out. Let's take a bird's eye view, look at the resume, and tell me how good you think it is. I personally think it's certainly top 10 in the country good with the number of quad one, quad two wins. You talk about this team beat UC Santa Barbara, who won the Big West. You're talking about Oregon State. You're talking about, you know, a winning record against the SEC. You can't take those things away. This team did all of that, and then they found themselves some 5 to 6 games out of first place and was able to catch the first place team and win the regular season title, man. That speaks to what this team is and how this program's been built.
They're about to host their fourth regional in the last 5 years.
It's incredible. It's almost my kids – believe it's just the norm for us to have a regional in Hattiesburg, Mrs. My youngest, it's just supposed to happen every single year, and I've tried to kind of pinch him a few times and tell him, Camden, that that doesn't always work that way.
And it's changed. I mean, that was not the case. Like I just said, like, you know, even as good as the baseball program was, 16, 17, 18, 19, I mean, it was, you know, if you could be a two seed, you know, and maybe have one of those good seasons like they did in 2017 where you get the host. But then now over the last 4 years, really, when they won that LSU, you know, won that regional in Hattiesburg in 2022 against LSU, really the whole view of the program, in my opinion, shifted at that juncture.
Oh, I love it. I think it was a major, major point. That, I mean, you're talking about the king, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and let's be honest, right? LSU college baseball, they've just been synonymous with
and it doesn't
upper
matter
echelon.
If they're a one or a two
seed. It doesn't matter.
That was a good LSU team.
Now, absolutely.
I'll give you an example. We were out there the Thursday before that series doing this show. Army comes out, great kids, interviewed the coach. Kennesaw State comes out, nice kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
LSU showed up, and you could just feel the cachet on the field.
Yeah,
I hate to admit that, Jason, but it's true.
No, yeah, I mean, it's just showing respect to where respect's probably due. I mean, Skip Bertman, you know, built that program. I'm not the biggest fan of the guy they got leading the program right now, but LSU was the king of this mountain for so long, and to think that they came to Hattiesburg – and the last time they rolled in, they rolled out with their L, and we took care of business was special, and I agree with Dima. I think at that point it pivoted, and I think everybody in the national world said, you better be careful because that's as good of a team. It gives me chills to think about it. That's as good of a team as you'll find in the country, and I think we've continuously proven that.
No question. So how you like this week? What do the Eagles have to do, you think, Jason?
I think we got the tougher end of the draw. I will tell you, you know, Troy's playing well. South Alabama's playing well. That wasn't ideal. Now, one of those is going to take an L, you know, this evening because they'll get into loser's bracket. Georgia State, I was here last night to the bitter end with Jack, and, boy, they look to be a confident bunch. They can hit. And then the arm they're throwing today is not anticipated. So they're going with a guy that's been in the back end of their bullpen. His splits are incredible. Like, I'm talking sub-160 average left and right against him. So he's going to be a dude on the mound. But you know what? Like, who's been better in the country maybe than us in the last 30 days? And so you carry that momentum in here and you ride it. And I like us. We're deep. We are built for this.
Yes.
We are built for regionals. We are built with our depth, with the arms. I just think this team's built for that kind of opportunity. I really do.
Yeah, and this is the first weekend I think we can see where Oz puts that to the test, right? Because last season, I didn't think that necessarily they were built to win a tournament. I remember us saying last season, they need to go 2-0 to win here. They need to go 2-0 in the regional to win here. I mean, I'm not saying you obviously don't want to lose, but this team is much more capable of coming out of a loser's bracket in the case that they were to drop one of the first two games than they were a season ago.
Yeah, and I even look at it more so not just getting into the loser's bracket. I just look at it as we've just got arms, man.
Yeah.
And look, like if Graydon Harris is not on today, which we all hope and pray that he is, if we've got to go to an arm in the fifth inning, I'm fully confident we've got enough people still left down in that pen going forward. I think depth is something that's not talked about enough in college baseball, and this team has depth. That is 100% the identity of this club.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot. We'll probably call on you next week. We're going to be out at the Pete Wednesday and Thursday.
It'll be great. I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be there with chills on and ready for that opportunity next week if we get it.
Jason Baker, everybody. More from the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament of Montgomery, Alabama on Super Talk Eagle Hour. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Well, working here. There we go. I think I finally found out the right microphones to turn on. Hey, welcome back. We're Montgomery, Alabama, 2026 Sun Belt Baseball Tournament. And of course, want to thank our our tournament sponsors, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Parish Tractor, Century First Federal Credit Union, and we'll be talking someone from Parish Tractor here in just a moment. But go ahead and introduce our next guest, Dima.
Yeah, we got Patrick McGee, Stats McGee, as we like to call him, on the phone, on the line with us today. Patrick, thanks so much for tuning in here. We are live in Montgomery, so Southern Miss is about to take the field in a couple of hours against Georgia State. But I guess, first off, before we get into the analytics of all the tournament things happening this week, how are you feeling about, how do you think this week's going to go for Southern Miss?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sets up pretty well, the bracket. I mean, I think, you know, Georgia State, you know, when you get one of those top two seeds, you avoid facing someone's ace. So I think that sets up well for them. And then, you know, Troy, South Alabama, I mean, that's not going to be a gimme, but I mean, I think those are, you know, games that you'd be favored to win. So I think, you know, it sets up pretty well for them to, you know, get to the championship game, but you know, certainly Troy and South pose at least somewhat of a threat.
I honestly was looking at the bracket and thought that it was probably one of the more favorable draws you could ask for. And I know they're the one seed, but sometimes the seeding falls where the draws aren't necessarily great for the one seeds. But, you know, Coastal, Louisiana, App State, Texas State, all on the other side. I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess the only thing you would say is a negative about that is that, you know, the higher RPI or the better RPI teams are on the other side of the bracket, so you don't necessarily get that bump that you would getting on the two seed side of the bracket. But I mean, that's, I guess, probably not a dramatic difference. You know, Troy and South have decent enough RPIs, although Troy's record isn't great, which is, you know, that's half the formula of your opponent's record. But I do think it is a pretty favorable draw for them.
All right, Patrick, I think we all know there's going to be a regional next week. It's not official, but it would be a shocker, probably the shock of the century if they didn't get one. But I'm curious, and I hate to even bring this up in a broadcast at the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament, but sort of the shocking early departure of Ole Miss yesterday, losing to a Missouri team, which had not been very good, pretty much knocked them out of a regional, and if so, the odds that they now end up in Hattiesburg.
I think right now I would still bet against it just because of the way that they're doing the seedings now, where they're either pairing the 17th or 20, which are the top two seeds, with the bottom one seeds, which would be 13 and 16. I think right now USM is in that 9 and 12 range, which means they would avoid the 17th or 20 teams. So, I mean, we have no idea how, you know, the committee is going to kind of rank these teams 17 through 32, but you know, if the consensus holds, Ole Miss will be in that first quadrant, and that would put them in a pool or in a pod that would avoid Hattiesburg, or so it would seem.
All right, and this is all speculation, but your best guess right now is who is the highest probable number two seed in Hattiesburg?
I think Tennessee would be a possibility. I think someone maybe in Arkansas, although I think Arkansas could potentially be in that. I think I actually have Arkansas in the 17th team right now. But I think Tennessee would be a possibility. Oklahoma, perhaps. Maybe someone like a Wake Forest or an Oklahoma State. Teams kind of in that, you know, 21 to 24 range. But, I mean, if I were to bet on it right now, and this is just a guess, but I would say maybe Tennessee is maybe the most likely. Which I know people aren't going to be thrilled to hear that. But.
No, well, I would just be shocked. I'd have to see it to believe it, to believe that there would not be an SEC team in the mix.
Yeah.
I think there's, yeah, I mean, you would certainly think so with 11 or 12 SEC teams in the field, and, you know, you're going to have probably nine non-SEC hosts. So, I mean, the math is kind of makes an SEC team in Hattiesburg pretty probable, especially when you factor in that, you know, Hattiesburg's right in the middle of the SEC territory.
Patrick, I wanted to ask in more of a discussion-based question of what Southern Miss would have to do to get a top-eight seed, and you posted on Twitter why you were skeptical of that idea, and it's something that I've said on this show before that, you know, last season Coastal arguably had even better metrics than Southern Miss, came here as regular season champions, won the Sun Belt Tournament, and was rewarded with the 13 overall seed, not even remotely close to a top-eight. And you posted that on Twitter, which I totally agreed with. But in your mind, what would Southern Miss have to do, or what help would they have to get to get a potential top eight seed?
Yeah, so I did some research on this on Sunday night. And so there have been 19 teams in the BB Corps era, which is when they changed the bats in 2011. I kind of use that as a breaking point. There's been 19 teams outside of the Power Four /Power Five conferences, you know, when the Pac-12 still existed. 19 teams outside of those conferences that have finished with a top 12 RPI on selection day, and only five of those ended up getting a top eight, and four of those won their conference tournament. And the only one that didn't was Cal State Fullerton, and that was because at the time the Big West didn't have a conference tournament. So, you know, they won the regular season. That was the automatic bid. So the history tells you that you have to finish with a top 12 RPI. You have to finish with, I mean, they have the regular season title already, but you have to finish with the conference tournament title. And, yeah, I mean, get some help as well. I mean, I was just, you know, following about 15 minutes ago. I don't know what the score is now, but I know Florida was beating Vanderbilt 3-0. Florida's very much in the mix for a top eight. Florida State doesn't play until Friday, but they're right in that mix as well. And then Texas A&M. They don't play until Friday, I don't think. But, you know, they're strong in the mix. So they're going to have to win the conference tournament and have some of these teams I just listed, you know, exit early in their conference tournament.
It seems like to me that the D1 baseball, and I'm sure you listen to Nerdcast and when those guys do the regional projections and all those things, and they seem to have thought that Southern Miss was, if not just barely outside the top eight, the next team. What say you? Because I don't see it, and that's just me looking at it. But, you know, obviously I don't follow it as closely as some of those guys do, and maybe you do.
No, I agree. I think D1 is a little higher on their seed than I am. They had USM as 9. I had USM as 11. I think Baseball America also has USM 11. I just think right now their RPI is a little bit behind those other contenders. You know, some of these other metrics that are, you know, being floated out there, like DSR, they're a little behind Florida State, and Texas A&M in that. And then, you know, also the committee factor. You know, a lot of people have brought up, you know, obviously Jeremy McClain is on the committee, but Florida and Florida State's ADs are also on the committee, and Florida State's AD is the chair of the committee. So, you know, it helps to have McClain on the committee, obviously, but, I mean, it's a little bit canceled out by the fact that, you know, two of these other teams that you're contending with for a top eight, they also have representation on the committee as well.
Yeah. When does the committee actually get together? Do either one of you guys know?
Sunday, isn't it? Sunday?
I think they get Saturday, to Indianapolis maybe on Friday and then stay there through Sunday. I think Friday through Sunday maybe. I don't know for sure on that, but I think they get to Indianapolis either maybe Thursday, okay, but I think Friday and then through Sunday.
All right, and I know it's not official, but there will be baseball at the Pete next weekend, correct?
I would think there's a very strong possibility of that, yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine any scenario.
I mean, the only way is if they were to go two and out here, and then, you know, then you might be still in the bubble, but I think they've done enough. But, you know, Patrick, as we look across the Sun Belt this weekend, I don't remember a tournament with this many teams on the bubble. They could play themselves into the NCAA regional, certainly Louisiana, who's playing right now in that mix. But Texas State got a big win earlier against App State. You mentioned South Alabama and Troy. Of course, they would be, you know, they would have a great chance of getting in the tournament if they were to knock off Southern Miss. So a lot of teams in this tournament playing for an at-large berth.
Yeah, I mean, I had four Sun Belt teams in my latest projection. I had Troy and South in my next five out, which is just after the first five out. But, yeah, I mean, I think ULL has the best positioning right now just based on having those series wins over USM and Coastal. I think that's a big feather in their cap. I think Texas State just behind them, you know, having that head-to-head sweep over ULL. But I think, you know, they're in a kind of a precarious position just because of a bid Steelers. But then Troy and South Alabama just kind of behind them. So right now I would say a 3-bid league, maybe 4, depending on what bid Steelers do. And, you know, if one of these teams outside of ULL that are on the bubble can maybe play their way in.
Yeah. Want to update you. We're at the bottom of the second inning here with Louisiana leading Coastal Carolina 1-0, but Coastal just got a double, got a guy on second base. And real quick, before we run out of time, Patrick, is there a dark horse here in Montgomery you think could surprise everyone, and we're about out of time?
I guess I would say Texas State, maybe. Seems like they've been playing well since the shortstop got kicked off the team, so I would say Texas State.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said they've been playing well since their shortstop got kicked off the team. That was funny.
Well, and when the first baseman almost got taken out by Southern Miss, the second baseman in the in the game in Hattiesburg, it would be interesting to see him play and to see if those guys would continue to get along. I would tend to agree with you, Patrick. We just watched Texas State play. And I got to tell you, they look like a big, strong, athletic baseball team that could surprise anybody, really.
Yeah, they've certainly had a good offense, and you know, they switched up the rotation a couple of weeks ago, and they've been playing better since that happened. So, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, maybe get to the final.
All right, Patrick, maybe you come join us in person next week when we broadcast from the Pete, and you'll see just how good looking we really are.
Well, I might have to do that on Friday or on
Wednesday and Thursday. We'll be at the Pete.
Okay.
We'll be in touch. All right, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Stats McGee from back in Hattiesburg. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues from Montgomery, Alabama next. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama. We head to the top of the third inning in this afternoon baseball game between Louisiana and Coastal Carolina. A game with a lot of implications. The Raging Cajuns are leading right now 1-0 as we headed to third. And if we can catch up with Jordan Carlisle from Parrish Tractor, we'll be happy to talk to him in just a minute. I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Parrish Tractor, as we mentioned, and, of course, Century First Federal Credit Union. Important game here, Dima. Mm-hmm. Two really good teams,
yep.
And two can both make the regional?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Coastal's for sure in, and then Louisiana. I still think they played themselves into the tournament. But, you know, it would be nice to get one more. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a nice RPI team. Coastal with a top 25-ish RPI. You know, another type, like, top Q1 win for Louisiana would be a nice feather in the cap. I think they've already done enough. You have series wins over Southern Miss, who's going to be a host, and you have a series win over Coastal. But, you know, like I said, it'd just be nice for them to get another one.
Golden Eagles going to play Georgia State here at 4 o'clock. They're 26-28, 14-6. They scored a ton of runs last night. They did win a game against Coastal. They lost their series against Coastal and Louisiana, both schools that are on the field right now. Do they present any danger that concerns you?
Yeah, I mean, I think any team who scores 17 runs in a game, you know, starts to, you know, in your head, you're kind of like, ooh, you know, maybe they're seeing the ball well and things like that. Got kind of out of hand early last night for Old Dominion, and so Georgia State was just kind of able to take control of that game. You know, RPI 133 overall. You know, you mentioned it, they scored so many runs, but what's surprising is when I crunched the numbers, Georgia State, in at least statistically, has ranked dead last in the Sun Belt in batting average at 262. They only hit 35 home runs, you know, this season. Their team ERA is just really bad, 11th in the Sun Belt Conference, 6.17 ERA. So statistically, not a good team. But sometimes when you get in these tournament atmospheres, you just kind of find yourselves. And so Southern Miss would obviously hope that wouldn't be the case at 4 o'clock today or whenever that game starts. Doesn't look like it's going to get going at 4 o'clock. I just think anytime a team has 17 runs, it kind of makes you a little nervous as a pitching staff because you know they're seeing the ball well.
Right. And then later tonight after the Southern Miss game, we'll have Troy and South Alabama. And, of course, Southern Miss will play the winner of that.
If they beat Georgia State, they will. Absolutely. And that's going to be another good game. You know, we talked about this game a lot, Coastal Louisiana being a good game. But South Alabama, Troy, they played a great series earlier this season. Troy, of course, won that series. But, you know, South Alabama's been playing good baseball. Troy's been playing good baseball. Again, both those squads needing some more wins to put themselves in a position to get in that large, at a large bid. And really, you could name South Alabama, Troy, Texas State, and Louisiana as four Sun Belt teams all in that, just on right on the bubble. And so that's why these games are important to them.
Well, it's fun. It is a fun time of the year. There's no question about that. But you're right. Tournaments are a different animal.
Yes.
And it's just not unusual to see somebody who's been pretty quiet all year.
Sure.
Jump up and make a real serious run in a tournament.
Yeah, and I really like Patrick McGee. You know, when you asked him who's that dark horse, I liked his thought on Texas State. They've been playing really good baseball. You know, they were preseason top three team in the Sun Belt. Everybody thought this would be kind of a bounce back year for them. They went through some injuries, went through some, you know, in the locker room stuff, like he was talking about with the shortstop. And after all that kind of, you know, went to the wayside, they've kind of found themselves a little bit. They've been playing really well, and once again, that's another team right on the cusp of a regional berth by at-large purposes.
Big physical baseball team.
Yep.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Louisiana has a runner at first. Let's see, one out, leading Coastal 1-0. They had a great opportunity early in the game. Yeah. They loaded the bases with no outs and only get one run out of the deal.
Yeah, that's never good. You want to try to get something going there. But, you know, these are two good arms. Both Coastal and Louisiana have really good pitching. So I kind of expected a game like this against these two squads, you know, low scoring like it was this weekend in Lafayette.
You've never seen a situation this year, have you, where a baseball team loaded the bases with no outs and only got one run?
No comment. If I made a comment on that, I'm sure I'd hear it from the team.
Have you got a prediction, by the way, in the last couple minutes that we have left today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I'd said that Southern Miss is by far playing the best baseball right now, and I would take their, you know, rotation and pitching staff against any other team here. And if the bats travel, I mean, it's just, they're just going to be really difficult to beat. And historically, Bob, they play pretty good here.
Yeah. And we should mention, since we were on the air the last time, is that they kind of mopped up with the awards in the Sun Belt. Oz is the coach of the year.
Yes.
Pitcher of the year and coach
Graydon
of the year
Harris.
On the same team,
yes.
Right? And six members of the all-conference team.
Now, I was absolutely stunned that Joey Urban did not land on either the first or second team all-conference or Camden Sundstrom. Both of those pitchers.
How is Joey Urban?
I don't get it.
How is Joey Urban not the first or second?
I would really like to hear some kind of reasonable argument for him not being on there. I mean, he's been a 300 hitter the whole year with 12 or 13 bombs, whatever he has. So.
All right, that wraps up our first day of coverage, but we're here all week. Got a great show coming your way tomorrow. We're going to have Jay Walker from Louisiana Lafayette on the show. Also, Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. So a great reason to tune in for day two. Southern Miss getting ready to play at 4 is the scheduled time this afternoon. We'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. More from Montgomery tomorrow. And until then, Southern Miss to the top. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.